laced up.
Let's go!
It's time for Banter with the Boys.
Yo, 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 welcome back to Banter with the Boys Fast Slaps. We're coming at you with video of all four of us. It's insane. We're all on the same screen. Look at us. Look at our pretty faces. But let's just get right into it. Right next to me, our co-host for Fast Slaps, Joe. Joe, what's going on?
Happy to be here. Happy to be on video. Happy to be here after that race specifically. We have a lot to talk about.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Moving right along to Cole, right next to him. Cole, typical Tuesday, buddy. How's your week been?
Typical Tuesday. I mean, this is like the first time in a while I think we haven't had horrible weather.
Facts. Yeah, it's so, actually nice out.
I'm not complaining. It's beautiful out. Sun shining, beautiful day. No place I'd rather be.
Absolutely. And then, of course, last but not least, the host of our NFL show, Tyler. What's going on?
Doing good, brother. Back from vacation. Much needed. Ready to rip another pod, brother.
Yeah, you definitely got some sun on vacation.
A little bit. I got a whole new forehead.
I got a whole new forehead. So let's just dive right into Miami. But before we even get started on that, we obviously had another sprint. Second sprint of the year. Do we still have the same feelings about the sprints after the second one? Obviously, we saw some guys finish a little higher than we're used to seeing in the Grand Prix right now. But what are your thoughts on the Miami sprint?
I think we kind of touched on it last time, but it is an opportunity for these lower-end teams to really get points, and we saw that. It came to fruition this last sprint. So I think that's awesome if you're a lower team trying to get some points. Obviously, for the top teams, it's not a big change-up because it's not a lot of points. For these lower-end teams like Racing Bowl, it's a huge weekend.
100%. I mean, Haas was in there in points, and then I think Pierre even got some points in the sprint as well. And then obviously, no, he did not.
No, Pierre finished ninth, so he was one outside of the points. Yuki, Nico, and Danny Rick were the three that, you know. I'm not going to say Yuki's surprising at this point. He's had a pretty good year, just even in races this year. But, like, that was the Danny Rick of 6-7 years ago, you know?
No doubt. For me personally, it's just another waste of time, honestly. Other than for the teams. I think because there wasn't a sprint in Miami last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you guys are saying?
Correct.
So was this just more of give the U.S. fans another little taste to try to continue to grow the sport here, you think? Is that why they chose to do it in Miami, or do they just keep rotating stuff out and it just is what it is?
I think
or do you think they're smarter about it than that?
I think that's actually a good point. I think it might be for the fans back here. It's also weird. Usually sprints are on shorter tracks. It's a little bit longer.
No, not anymore. They used to be that way, but even last year, it's like...
What was the longest track last year that was on?
It was like Singapore or Japan. I want to say Singapore had a sprint last year, and that's not a fast track.
True.
But even Vegas, yeah. Vegas isn't a fast track, and they had a sprint last year. Vegas is like, what, 140, 150 lap times, if I'm not mistaken?
Something like that.
It's a pretty long one. But, yeah, I mean, I could go without it. Was it nice seeing Danny Rick up there? Yeah, but it would have been a heck of a lot cooler to see him on Sunday there.
Well, yeah. No doubt.
Still, I mean, all in all, with his racing, the whole race was amazing out of Danny Rick.
Yeah, he was fending off Sainz in that Ferrari. Yes. He was actually battling him and, like, holding him off, throwing the elbows a bit. That's what I was saying. It's like that Danny Rick of old, you know? He wasn't just letting him by having the slower car, knowing he doesn't stand a chance. He held him off multiple times.
And for him being in America, I mean, he's probably the favorite. I mean, I know Sargent's from America, but he's probably the favorite driver out of, like, that for American fans.
Anybody I know around here is big Danny Rick fan, big time.
Yeah, I would have to agree as well. I think... What's nice about this sprint was such an outlier from other sprints because the race and the sprint were so different in terms of the result. So if we see more of that from sprints, I think I'd be okay with it. You know, I don't want to see just a repeat of, you know, the race from the sprint perspective each weekend.
And so far we haven't, because I thought the China sprint too was a little bit different than the main.
Yeah, Lewis grabbed it on P2.
That's right.
You know,
yeah. So.
But yeah, I guess my take on the sprints is I'm not opposed to the whole format of it. Give them more points. Yes. That's all
make
I ask.
Make it
actually worth it, right? Because even you grab an eighth, you're getting 1 point, right? Even first, it's 8 points. Like, that's not a huge incentive. Even if you go up to, like, 15, 12, 9, and then kind of tailor it down like they do similar to the Grand Prix, like, you get, there's so much more motivation. Like, yeah, eighth still might only be getting 1 point, but 10th also only gets 1 point in the Grand Prix. At least a third is getting you, you know, 12 points, which is not too far up from that Grand Prix system.
Sure.
Do you think they should increase the amount of points that are given out? Because
I like how it's 8.
Okay. Because it's like interesting. It's if you look at it, you just mentioned Gasly, but Sargeant would have got points too if it was top 10 in the sprint. Mm-hmm.
Right. And you're saying they should not expand it to 10, keep it at 8, but maybe just give them more.
Yeah, exactly. I like it at 8 just because I like the idea of rewarding less people, but I think there should be more of a reward.
Sure.
Again, yeah, I guess it kind of contradicts not you, but like the whole point of, you know, we see a lot of the same people at the top 8 anyway. And I feel like if it's too many points on the sprint, Verstappen's kind of running away even more with it this year. It's, you know, I think it's a bigger gap.
Yeah.
I kind of have an opposite look at it. I don't think I want more points. I think I want them to be spread out more because then we're going to see more fighting near that middle pack, right? So even in the race, I'd like to see points down to maybe 12 or 13 because it'll push people even that much further down the track a little bit more. We'll see fighting throughout a bit more as well. And we'll take points from maybe, I don't know if we're going to take points away, but I mean, we can skin out front a little bit. I mean, 25 and then 18 points is a pretty high gap. We can probably slim that down a little.
But we only say that because of the dominance around Verstappen. And I think that's why it's such like the gap is such a big thing. I think I don't like extending it past 10 at all because, I mean, it's kind of an award in itself, just to a reward, if you will, to win a point in F1. That's like, I mean obviously a win is huge, but just getting 10th for a lot of these cars is huge. So I like top 10.
Yeah, I don't hate that, Joe. I wouldn't mind seeing like the Grand Prix go to 12 or 13 and then like the sprint go to 10.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't mind that at all. And I kind of like what you're saying there with like getting you, because you get more of that battle. Because, yeah, you'll see these lower cars battle for 11th, 12th towards the race to try to get to 10. But now you're actually rewarded for it and you're going to see them fight even more towards the end.
Sure.
But I don't know. I think first should have. I like that 7-point separation from first to second. I really do, because you're rewarded, right? It's a true reward, because then from like second to third, it's a 2 or 3 point drop difference.
18 to 15,
right? Yeah. So it's 3, and then I believe it goes on to 12, so it's 3 from there. So it's like, I like how it's like 10 points difference from first to third.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, because you're rewarded for not only a podium, but for winning the race.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of winning the race, let's just head right into it. The Miami GP. Joe, just go for it.
Lando no wins Norris, gets his first win at Miami. I'm telling you, for the last 20 laps after that safety car went in, I mean, I was sick on the ground, just like waiting for something bad to happen and ruin the race. Like I was on a call with a few people while watching it, and they can attest that I was like barfing. I could not handle that end of the race. And the way he, not only did he win it, but he got time off of Verstappen.
Yeah.
He was
pulling.
That was 100%. I think really anything can happen this year. I'm pretty happy. You know, I'm going to be happy for the rest of the year.
I'm 100% with you. It was not only that, like you said, with 20 laps to go, like he wasn't handed this win. He was handed a free pit stop, which certainly helped in the overall grand scheme of things. Not saying it's unfeasible for him to win before that, but it's more than likely not going to happen because he has to pass two Ferraris, a Red Bull, and Piastri, who was looking strong until he got damaged.
It would have been a fight.
So it would have been a fight. But it was the fact that they had a pit, that safety car with 20 laps to go, he held off. He got out of that 1 second range ridiculously fast from Verstappen, so Verstappen couldn't attack, and then pulled away to a 7 second gap.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't watch the race live, and I saw Lando won, and I was like, oh, Verstappen DNF'd. And then, like, to see that gap, I was like, that's insane.
Yeah.
And he kept pulling away. And I mean, to even back your point even more, Joe, Piastri and Lando were recording the fastest laps the entire time.
The entire race.
And at the end of the race, like halfway towards the end, Verstappen was complaining about his turning and everything like that. But I mean, the whole race, the McLarens were pulling out the fastest laps.
Who ended up with the fastest lap? Was it Oscar?
I think it was Oscar. That's what I thought.
But
and that's a point, correct?
He doesn't get the point though
because he was
out of finish points. outside of 10.
Yeah,
or you got to finish inside of the top 10 to get the point. He finished a lap.
Really, and get the fastest lap.
Sorry, he finished 13th.
Yep. Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, well there we go. Learned something today.
And he raced a hell of a race.
He raced until really he got damaged. He
and
was,
how did he get? I remember him getting damaged. Hit the rear of somebody, wasn't it?
Yeah, he hit the rear. Well, I don't know. It's a little hard to tell, but Carlos like drove his rear tires into Oscar's front wings, and you saw it just like bend, and that was just not going to get him anything during the race.
But still, he came back on the track at what, 18th or 19th?
Yeah, and he made a ton of places.
Oh, yeah, he got back up with 13th. With like 18 laps left or something.
I don't even think it was that many. I think it was like 10 laps. It was closer to 10 than that. Yeah, that 20 mark, I believe.
They look good.
The McLarens looked like they brought upgrades this week, and you sure as could tell.
And Oscar, only 50% of those upgrades on his car.
Exactly. Oscar didn't have the full upgrades.
Looking forward, no, Lando literally said, I mean, not Lando, Lando's engineer was talking after the race that they're expecting to do even better at other tracks. Like their upgrades are supposed to be better at other tracks than Miami.
No, yeah. After this week, I 100% expect them to be battling with Ferrari. Oh, like a normal
I think Red Bull, man.
I think at this point, they might have surpassed Ferrari at this point.
Really? We'll jump into this in the news. I have something about that.
Okay.
Fair enough. But Lando getting his first win in what is 110th start?
110th race. Yeah.
I mean, that's nuts. That's got to just be a giant weight off your shoulders, I would imagine.
Especially with like the drama and how the Russian Grand Prix happened, you know, a couple years back, where the rain lost him the race, and like for him to get it, it was someone who's, I mean, I haven't been an F1 fan or a McLaren fan as long as Joe, but I kind of attached to him right away just because I loved Lando. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with Kyle, I'm a Science fan too. And then when Danny Ric went there, it was just kind of the solidifying, like, I'm a McLaren fan. Mm-hmm. It was really, really cool to see Lando get that win. And you could tell after the race.
And 15, that was his 16th podium, technically, I think. And, which is pretty impressive. But also, as far as, Lando, early on, we were talking about who's the president?
Zach Brown.
Zach Brown. We're talking about Zach Brown and how like the F1 Drive to Survive, how it was weird, like him and Lando on the golf course. Mm. It's not so weird now. You know, nobody looks back on that now. It's like that was weird. That's right.
I remember you mentioning that.
That's a winner, you know?
Yeah.
You got a win now. So it's not so weird. It's you know, obviously you're going to fight for that guy. He's somebody who can get you a win. It doesn't look so weird. You know, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool to see that happen.
It's just crazy that this is probably the tip of the iceberg. Like, he's just getting started, too. It's like, you get that first one. I don't think it's going to happen where you see, like, George Russell got his one win and then hasn't been able to get anywhere close to a win since. Like, Lando's been
way more consistent than that.
He's been
fighting
at the top.
And he's shown it for a long time. How old is he? He's still young.
Like, he's 25 or 25.
That's what I mean, and it feels like he's already a vet. You know, and I would consider him a vet in F1. I mean, what?
And they're building around him.
He's 24.
Right. And if it is 16 podiums, that's ridiculous. Yeah, 24?
I do think they're probably building around him a little bit. But Oscar is, you know, he's handling it.
I think the outlook's really good.
Yeah, I haven't stopped smiling, man.
I think the rest of this year is going to be really fun to just watch how they progress and maybe even steal a couple more wins from Red Bull. And, like, if we're good on McLaren, I really want to talk about Red Bull. Like, Verstappen was not thrilled with the car. Like, on lap 39, I'm sorry, he was quoted saying, you know, he can't get the car to turn, big disaster, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean?
Is it, I'm going to throw it in there because I'm not a big Verstappen fan. Is it because he's not able to catch Lando?
I think that interview at the end of the race and just everything he said and everything, I think Max was giving it all he had and the car was just not it that day compared to the McLaren. I think the McLaren car was just that much better, and Lando just seized that opportunity.
I think that Verstappen, I compare him to like Conor McGregor. When the stuff's going down, he's going to talk his trash and all that. Afterwards, he has humility. He always has humility after the race, I think. But I think mid-race, I mean, I think he's frustrated.
100%.
I don't know. I honestly, just watching the race, I think Lando was just a better driver out there.
Maybe this race.
Not in general. This race, I think Lando was just a better race driver out there.
I think Max was just trying to manipulate that car to do things it didn't want to do that day.
Yeah. I think it was more so the car than Max. Like,
but I'm not taking anything away from Lando. I think he drove a great race. Driver of the day. Absolutely. Who got driver of the day?
Lando.
Oh,
yeah.
Lando.
100%. Yeah, like 40 to 50% over. Good. Yeah, no, I think Max had the pace. Obviously, he got first in qualifying, right? His car was fast enough to make it, but the McLarens were just driving the best out there the whole weekend. I think there was something wrong with the Red Bull. Maybe it just isn't great on this track this year for some reason, but when Max took out that Bullard and caused that first virtual safety car to come out, it sounded, and I don't know if this is ever really confirmed or not, but it sounded like maybe he took floor damage from running over, not the bullard itself, but whatever was holding the bullard in. Yeah. Mm. So maybe that affected his race in the long run. Again, it all happened on track, so it's still a legit win from Norris. Like, Max did that 100%. To himself, but maybe that's like some reasoning as to why he got such a gap on Max. I'm not sure.
I don't think so, because if that were to be the case, it's on the radio. Mm-hmm. Red Bull's coming out after the race and saying they did do like, they're not just going to let that go. You know, it's maybe not Max, but like Horner's he's not going to just let that slide that's why they lost, you know.
But they didn't.
And the other thing with Max, though, it's like, even after he won the sprint, he verbally went, LOL, the car is absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
So, like, I do think the car just wasn't there this weekend.
But there was no response from his engineer around his car and around the complaints he was saying.
Not really.
Not that
he was complaining about, like, everything, like tire management, the balance was off, and then the downforce was wrong.
Yeah.
The steering, like, he complained about literally everything.
He said the steering was off, and then they said no, right? And then he was like, well, check the downforce, or was that, am I confusing?
You might be right. Yeah, you might be right. And they're like, no, it looks good. But for the second part of that, they had no answer. They never gave him anything.
Yeah. And they might not have aired it. They checked on it and came back to it. Like, it's they're only, the commentary is like, the broadcast is only going to air the stuff that's going to get, you know, likes, attention, clicks.
For sure. And I mean, sticking with Red Bull real quick. What about that was kind of my reaction about Sergio almost just ending the race for multiple people.
Turn one.
I would have loved it if he would have
just blew a tire. But anyway, no, seriously, like, it just, I don't know, it was crazy. He almost took out Max for sure, but I mean, he took out a couple other cars too.
Mm-hmm. That was reckless.
It allowed, who was it?
Piastri
to get up into second. Yeah, it allowed Piastri to get up into second.
He got past both, he got three spots, he jumped back past the Red Bull, and I think both Ferraris.
Both Ferraris, right?
Did we ever hear,
Sainz,
like,
Sainz got Leclerc off the line?
Sure. Yeah.
And Sainz
got
Leclerc off the line, and then Leclerc was able to get that position back, but Piastri had already gone through. No, it was Sergio was trying. He didn't have the brakes. Like, there was no grip on that part of the track.
Yeah, we know. Yeah, no doubt. But okay. Any other comment on Red Bull? Not. I wouldn't say it's a disappointment. It was just refreshing to see a different car beat, as far as we know, a healthy Verstappen and car.
Yeah, it was just cool to see both Red Bulls finish the race and not be in the one spot. Yeah.
No doubt.
I think the coolest part to me was that Lando gained a 7.5 seconds gap. Yeah, it wasn't that he just beat the Red Bulls.
That's what makes me look at the rest of the season as like, we might actually see some racing now, not just Max running away with 15, 30 second wins.
It wasn't really like this, but because of the whole pit stop switch and all that, that's where kind of it went. But I mean, they restarted right on top of each other. And Max Max was pushing up besides Lando, trying to jump the gun on him.
Mm-hmm.
And Lando just, I mean, like you said, Tyler, was within the first lap, he had a second on him.
Yeah.
He just drove away from him.
It's okay. So here's my other issue with the steering. Just my last point on it, because it's driving me nuts. my other issue with the steering, you have a very talented Leclerc behind him. If he was having that many issues, Leclerc catches him.
The Ferrari didn't look great this weekend, though.
But if he's having problems steering and making turns and stuff, Leclerc catches him. If he's running into issues that bad, Leclerc catches him.
I mean,
it's
a good point, because the Ferrari...
There's a two-second gap by the end of the race between him and Leclerc.
Right.
Over, like, 2.5 seconds.
Yeah, no, you're right.
If he's running into that many issues, Leclerc catches him 100%.
Mm.
Maybe,
I don't know.
Maybe on skill alone, only if that Ferrari is 100%.
Yeah, because neither of the Ferraris looked great this entire weekend at all. I mean, they got 3-5. They didn't finish bad. Like, I definitely see your point.
They started right on top of each other. He was talking about the complaints right after the restart.
I think it just creates more and more to look at for this weekend's race, 100%. Just see how Ferrari bounces back from that a little bit. And I say bounce back, even though they're still on the podium and then still finishing, you know, 3-5. But
there's something coming. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Moving along in Miami, just something I wanted to make a note of. Not a big deal, but early on, there's actually some really good battles between Hulkenberg and Lewis. Like those first 20 laps, maybe there was like, I don't know. I had to write it down because it seemed impressive to me. And it's, again, looking forward to Hulkenberg's next season. You know, it'll just be fun to maybe see him battle for best of the rest. I doubt it, right? But
yeah. Very happy dreamer.
No, I know. That's really lofty.
Very impressive. Very impressive for Hulkenberg. Pretty disappointing for Lewis that he's fighting a Haas right now.
No doubt.
And he couldn't get past him.
Nope.
That's what I mean. That's what makes me think that Hulkenberg was driving the crap out of that mm-hmm. thing.
Highest position, P6. For Lewis, was this week, P6 was his highest he's placed this year. That's crazy.
Oh, man.
That's wild.
That is weird.
That Mercedes, there's nothing about that car that looks good.
And he was a lot faster than George. He was a lot faster than George. George lost to Yuki.
George looked terrible.
George lost to Yuki.
Yeah,
and he's, rough. I mean, he looked terrible. He's still an eighth.
George just hasn't looked good
terrible
to me
for
all
a Mercedes,
year.
Right?
Yeah.
They got some stuff to fix. I heard they were bringing upgrades. I also heard there are a few other teams bringing upgrades that are Mercedes-like. Like, I think Ferrari's bringing a side pod upgrade that is kind of like what Mercedes has, or like in the realm of what Mercedes has right now. So that should be fun to see.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Maybe they can do it better. I assume they probably can, but
can't do it much worse.
That's a fact.
Very true.
Obviously, Alpine getting a point this weekend.
Ocon.
Okay, and they were racing each other hard, dude, throughout the race. Gasly and Ocon both. There's a couple of times they touched tires.
Yes.
I was like, whoa. Are we going to see another Alpine carnage?
Yeah.
But no.
Yeah, that first lap, they were fighting hard.
I mean, Yuki 7th. That's pretty impressive. That's Ty's his best finish this year, right? Didn't he have
something? That's got to be. That sounds right. That sounds right.
I mean, great full weekend for Racing Bull.
I would agree.
I mean, points-wise?
Looking at the rest of the season that's happened, you know, before this race, I would say that's a great, great progress for the V.
Points-wise, they kind of separated because I think the closest was Haas, right? Them and Haas were fighting for the constructors.
Yeah.
I can't remember. We should do an update on constructors
but
next.
They were fighting with Haas, and this kind of separates them a little bit. This gives them a lot of room.
I mean, RB's got 11 points this weekend between the two races. Like, that's more than Haas has on the year. Haas has 7 on the year. Mm-hmm. Right? So they definitely had a huge gap to Haas in this race. I mean, realistically, with how Aston's looking and Stroll can't finish anything, and I mean, Fernando, that Aston looked terrible this weekend. If Yuki can keep finishing in that 7th to 10th spot, like, there's a chance they could catch the Astons.
It'd be crazy.
That would be impressive.
That'd be wild.
Crazy. That would be impressive.
Does he get the spot on Red Bull if he brings him to 5th?
And we're not going to go on a deep tangent because we literally do every time, but that is an interesting thought. If he keeps consistently finishing in the top 8 the rest of the season, Yuki, I'm talking about, I think he's got to be in consideration. I think Carlos is still the number one option.
Checo has that seat locked up.
Locked up? Like, instead of Carlos?
I don't think Carlos is going to Red Bull. They can't offer him enough.
So what happens to V-Carb then? Because I think you, Liam I remember Lawson. You saying that, so who gets kicked out? Who stays?
Danny Rick
stays?
Yeah, he stays.
Okay.
Which would be interesting. Yuki stays. Considering.
Sorry.
Yuki stays.
Yeah. Danny Rick's gone.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I think the whole situation.
Because they want to go youth movement in the V-carbs to help develop. Mm-hmm. And
that's what that team's for.
Right.
The only reason Danny Rick got that seat was to potentially.
Yeah.
I think to move in, and I think we've seen that it's probably not going to happen.
He would need one heck of a last...
Yeah.
This is his last year in F1 car.
Unfortunately, I would agree.
Yeah.
Dang.
That's rough.
Where's he going to go?
Reserve driver?
No, Haas?
Not even.
No.
Haas can't... Well, if he wants to stay, maybe. Allegedly, there's a driver...
This is his last year.
Allegedly, we already know one of the drivers for Haas. We can mention that later. But just real quick, since we're on the V-carb subject, I wanted to mention their livery. I thought it looked really awesome this weekend. A couple weekends ago in Miami, compared to all this hype that we were hearing about Ferrari and that they're going to be blue. To be fair, the driver suits were blue head to toe.
They look clean. The driver suits look clean. The car was hideous.
But then the car comes out and I was like, I mean, kind of what I was expecting, right? There's no way the whole thing was going to be blue, but
it was terrible.
Just like they were hyping it up, and then V-Carb just smashed it out of the park, in my opinion, in comparison.
I saw I think maybe one of you guys sent it, like a faux image of the blue they're going
with.
That. You sent
that?
Yeah,
it was completely blue.
I was like, who's the red car on the track? Where's Ferrari? When I was watching the sprint, I was like, what's going on right now? And then I was like, oh, they're red still. What is he doing?
Yeah. Nah, I just, whatever, big disappointment to me. But and now move into, actually, Tyler, you mentioned this, right? Last night on our little meeting, you mentioned how they're going to HP now. So now there's going to be a giant blue HP instead of the Shell logo
on
the red car.
Where the HP was on the Ferrari in Miami is going to stay. They're just not going to have the blue accent. So there's going to be a big HP on whatever you call it that's right behind them. And then on their wing now, it's going to be the HP. Which it just, it doesn't look good. I get it. They're giving them $100 million a year. Like, it's a title sponsor. You got to do it. But that the Shell was just so iconic with Ferrari. The red and the red and the yellow work together. Yeah. The red and that HP blue do not coincide.
No, I mean, I don't, you know, color match very well. I do dress myself, believe it or not. But, like, I don't. Yeah, I know. But, it's just going to look bad. The red and blue, I agree 100%. That's going to clash super hard. Really, the last thing kind of to wrap up Miami. Joe, do you want to touch on K-Meg's penalties that came late?
Love to have a conversation about K-Meg. Yeah, 25 seconds of penalties in the sprint, 20 seconds of penalties in the race, I think. I'm probably wrong about the race, but I know he got about 25 in the sprint. He said after the race, it's not a position he wants to be in, but it's a position he finds himself in, and that's fighting for Hulkenberg. I think it's a good position to be in because the team knows he's going to be able to be a team player. But at the same time, it's like, is that a great look for Haas, having a car out there that's like running people off the track, getting just all those penalties? He's not breaking the car, so that's good, right? That's like huge. I keep thinking about that. As long as he's not breaking the car, I guess whatever, but... He's what, two more points away from getting a race suspension, and those points are almost entirely within the last two races. Like it's crazy.
It is a weird look. You bring up a good point. Like is that the look Haas really wants to be having right now?
Yeah.
And I don't think they care about K-Meg's image at all by any means. So I think he's just what you said, being a team player, and they're just doing everything they can. It feels like to get Hulk in points.
So, I mean, to talk about Haas, I don't know if this is correlated at all. I didn't really read up on it. Why is Gunther suing Haas?
I didn't know.
Other way around, Haas is suing Gunther.
Oh, really?
What?
Yep. He mentioned he had a Haas logo, I think, in his book that he wrote, and so I think Gene is suing him.
Oh my god!
I have to look that up, but it's around that. I don't think Gunther is.
Come on, Gene.
That's a worse look for Haas than this. At least they know they got their money in Hulkenberg that can actually get points.
Yeah, that's a bad look. That's
wild.
True. That's whack.
I thought it was the other way around.
I'll double check, but
I like that K-Mag's doing this.
Yeah,
he's fighting for a team that needs 1 point. You know, it's one true. Point
they
at the end of the
that.
Year when you're only going to get 19.
Right, well, right.
And like, seventh
matters.
And seventh is the highest they've ever finished, right? So if they can finish there this year, that's tying their best finish ever in what, 5 years?
It's five or
gotta
six.
Gotta be.
Yeah.
Gotta be.
And I mean, it's just, those teams, it's millions of dollars.
Right,
that's Danny Rick. That's Danny Rick right there. You want Danny Rick, take seventh.
Not going to happen, but yeah.
They're not going to take seventh?
No, Danny Rick's not going to happen there.
If there's a way to do it, it's getting seven.
Now, it would be a
low.
Popular decision. If you're trying to grow F1 in the U.S., that would be a pretty popular decision. It would be. But I don't know if it's the right move for Haas right now. But, you know, I'm sure, again, another conversation to have throughout the rest of the season. Absolutely.
Really quick, just because I was wrong. Steiner did sue Haas. Haas sued Steiner back because of the trademark infringement. So,
yeah. Why did he sue?
I need to double check. I'm not sure. This article isn't telling me, but yeah, they're suing each other.
Got it. Fun. That makes sense. And obviously, they're gonna come back and rebuttal. They got the guns,
right? With that, we'll just head right into our news segment. And of course, right away, we're just gonna start with Ferrari. Actually, a couple small minor things. Ferrari actually signed two former Mercedes staff members. The former head of Mercedes' young driver program becomes the deputy team principal, and I'm blanking on his name. He's a former F1 driver. I don't know why I'm blanking on his name, but is that really a big deal at all for Ferrari, or is it just kind of a change of scenery for these staff members for Mercedes?
I think it's a change of scenery. Wasn't there a bigger move where Red Bull took a ton of.
I did not hear that.
Mercedes,
right?
That was a number of years ago now.
No, there's something I thought that happened recently where a big move happened with a ton of other engineers.
Oh, it was a lot of Red Bull went to Aston.
Oh, okay.
When they became Aston.
Oh.
It's two Merc staff with the Merc car, whatever. They might have a tie to Lewis is what I'm guessing.
It's got to be. That's the only thing I could come up with. And so we'll just see. Not a big deal.
Jerome D'Ambrosio.
Yeah, that fella. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That rolls right off my tongue. Ferrari was also seen testing, quote, rain guards. Joe made a good point that most of the rain, you know, comes from the diffuser really on the rear of the car, but they're testing these rain guards. Is that really worth it?
I mean, so ridiculous.
Don't get me wrong. You see from the pod cameras, right? When it's wet, I mean, you can't head into that turn one anywhere. You can't see nothing. But is it even worth their time?
I'm curious if the weight of the added rain guards will... Because I think having guards over, I think that might help with, I guess, when we see like the wind hitting those tires, they go everywhere and it causes the cars behind them to kind of get all messy. But I think the rain guards might help with that. Now, the added weight might kind of, you know, mess that all together. But I don't know. I think they're trying to just make the sport safer. You're right. They look ridiculous. I don't think they're working, though. So...
Like, they didn't look like the pictures. They didn't look like they were working at even. All. They didn't look like they were working.
Well, they also, it wasn't like raining.
No, they just had a wet track. No. Yeah.
So if it was raining, what are they going to do?
What are we doing testing these without rain?
And they were testing them for the FIA, correct?
Yeah.
I would imagine.
It wasn't something they were doing. Just to put clarity on that. It was for the FIA.
And to your point of the weight, now do you have to redesign other parts of the car if that became a mandatory thing?
I doubt it. I think they'd probably
a bolt-on thing, like, oh, it's going to rain now.
They're going to be the same.
Just bolted on.
Right, so everybody's using your universal rain guard, so it's the weight of the car going into it. It's probably what matters, and then we're adding this weight with the rain guards. Everybody's getting equal weight added.
Could it be like a part that they can modify to be their own, though? Like,
I doubt the FIA would allow that. I think it's going to be added as an extension of the tire.
Sure. Yeah.
Even if they knock off 10-15% of decreased visibility, that's still worth it in the grand scheme of safety.
Mm. In the grand scheme of safety, it would be worth it. It would make a difference when you have, if you're saving 10-15% on 20 cars, that's probably going to make a huge difference.
Exactly. And I don't think drivers would have a huge deal with it unless it like drastically made the car handle differently.
Yeah,
I think that's the only issue drivers would have with it. Like, they don't care about aesthetics. Like, if they're going to have a higher chance of, you know, survival, per se.
Yeah, no, for sure.
And if it's across the board the same, they're not going to care.
Right, right.
Just let us worry about aesthetics.
But it would be interesting, though. So, how would the FIA, like, mandate that, right? Is it going to be mandated only if they're mandating wet tires? Because, like, they have mandates that you can only use wets in the race and under certain conditions. And then if it stops raining, people start switching to the intermediates. How is that going to, like, play out that way?
I think they would just be on the rest of the race, then.
This has got to be a couple of year thing. I mean, they were just testing.
For sure.
It's not the first test, though. They've done testing before on it. It was the first test of this particular kind.
I just hadn't heard of it before. So me neither. I just saw a picture of this ugly thing, and I was like, we'll see what that is. And I didn't think it was real at first. I thought it was like one of those joke pages on Facebook. But
while we're on Ferrari, the news I saw, and this is the same news.
What's this big news?
The same news that I heard when I found out that Marco was leaving. Right?
Marco.
Not Marco. Who's the engineer just left? Newey. The same news. When I got that news that he was leaving, he was going to make the announcement before Miami. The same thing. I found out that Ferrari is apparently coming to Imola with an upgrade that is insane. Like 0.4 seconds.
Hmm.
0.4 seconds a lap on Imola.
I believe it when I see it.
That would be wild.
So we're talking again.
That's huge.
Again, this is a big, I got the news. The news, same thing.
We're saying staying ahead of Ferrari staying ahead of McLaren type of upgrade.
We're talking about a McLaren upgrade from last year. That's big of a jump we're talking, really.
Really? If it is, 0.4 seconds is huge.
For sure.
And that's, I mean, my news has not lied so far.
That's true.
So
you did call that.
So if I said before Miami, he's going to call it, and they're saying 0.4. So if it's a huge upgrade like that.
Oh, yeah.
Got some mob source.
Yeah, this is the like the Mercedes S side pod change that I was talking about earlier. That's
okay.
This is what that is. Yeah, so it's a huge yeah. A
and it's
huge
similar to Mercedes side pod from when?
No says, side pod.
It's a vertical bypass duct instead of like the larger one inlet thing.
Ah, yeah, gotcha.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Similar to the one seen on Alpine and Mercedes. Yeah, that's interesting.
I heard it's going to be huge. 0.4.
While we're on upgrades, Mercedes allegedly is bringing one that is not huge. they literally came out and said, and I can't remember what article, I'm sure it was on, honestly, F1's website, but something along the line, somebody came out and said straight up, like, yeah, we're coming out with upgrades, but it's not going to keep up with the rest of everybody else. Meaning, like, Ferrari and McLaren and whatnot.
Just throwing stuff at the wall right now, probably.
That's what it sounds like.
I mean, what do they got to lose? At this point, I mean, they got to try everything they can. They're losing the best driver, one of the best drivers of all time.
For sure.
Like, what do you? You have to do whatever you can to at least compete to try to stay in that. I mean, they're fighting for fourth in constructors at this point,
which is crazy to even consider.
They
honestly
finished second last year.
Yeah,
and towards the end of the year, the car didn't look bad.
It didn't, and Lewis kept progressively better through last season, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. So I just, it's not a good look. Honestly, to come out and say that too doesn't put confidence in your drivers.
Being 60 points behind McLaren right now is in third. That's a pretty big gap. It's a
they're
pretty
not,
big gap.
The thing with McLaren, Red Bull, and Ferrari is they're only going to improve during the year. Mm-hmm. Like every team is, right? But in terms of like the upgrades, like you can't just stay stagnant with those teams right now. You have to do what you can to grab those 0.4. You know, 0.4 of a second you're gaining on a lap is what Mercedes needs to even compete for third right now, I would say.
And it's just not been enough.
No.
It hasn't been enough. I don't think it'll be enough this weekend. And according to them, neither do they.
It's going to be interesting to see if they can hold off Aston.
They're not going to hold off Fernando.
Like, it's how is Lance going to perform to, like, because...
Like Lance.
Like, they're only 22 points behind him.
Lance
could
get a point. But I don't see much more than him. I mean, honestly, he's been so wildly inconsistent this year. The only consistency he's had is finishing outside of 10th. I don't know. Real quick, little blurb. Williams allegedly is, quote, talking to 4 or 5 drivers. That just seemed like a lot to me. Right now, they're just, you know, whatever. Not really worth even discussing. Just figured I saw it, thought it was interesting. If you have any thoughts, go for it. But I don't, whatever.
Who wants to go to that car right now?
That's what I mean. That's what I mean.
They're going to be lucky if Albon wants to stay.
That's what I mean. 4 or 5 drivers, did the first 4 say no?
I feel like I hear every weekend one of the commentators saying, Williams, you know, this might be their weekend. They might actually get into points and, you know, do something.
Sounds like the McLaren fans from the past 2 years.
Yeah, maybe a little. I mean, last year
got
was
the
bad,
dub, though.
But yeah, we got
you did,
there,
you
right?
Did, you did.
It only took 110 races, but we got there.
Just real quick, Haas. Allegedly, K-Mag could be gone. Bierman could be in next season. Does that hold any weight? I think Bierman has a shot at one of the Haas seats in general,
so,
for sure.
Yeah,
I think.
But
Bierman's
could they just
shoo-in.
Match him with K-Mag then?
I think.
Do they want
have...
another young driver in there, or do they go after like a Danny Ric instead of K-Mag? Is that an advantage for Haas?
So do you keep K-Mag? Because we're just talking about his role this year.
That's what
he's
I mean.
He's not really somebody you put there to like help train or build a young driver.
Sure.
So do you waste your time with K-Mag, or you try to go elsewhere and get one of those people that's kind of on the out? Or...
Maybe like an Albon even.
Ooh. I don't hate that.
I don't hate that either. I think I'd rather see Albon at Williams than at Haas for some weird reason, but...
I think he has a better chance of competing at Haas with where the cars are at right
probably.
Now.
Probably.
The speed, yeah.
Yeah, Albon. That's an interesting thought.
That is interesting.
Can they afford him, though?
Obviously, we know Haas is probably going to get whatever's left over after everybody else starts signing, I would imagine.
So that's an interesting point, though. So let's say that Haas finishes, you know, 8th, and Sauber and Williams don't finish above him, and it's like a big separation between... whatever of those two teams is going to get 3 points this year. So if it's a big separation like that, does somebody like Albon want to stay at Williams and take a little bit of a pay cut to get more points to show he's one of these top tier drivers to maybe get into one of those seats in the future in those top teams? You know, because let's say Red Bull does take Checo next year. Albon goes into a Haas and starts getting consistent 7th to 7th ace, maybe.
Be a really good look.
And then, boom, maybe that Red Bull seat opens up for him.
But is that a bad move like Rick going to Renault?
That's the kicker.
Which was a wild move.
Yeah.
Obviously didn't work.
I don't think it's as wild as that because Albon's not in a race-winning car, and he's not going to a race-winning car or like a race-fighting, a winning, like a podium-fighting car. Yeah, that move between that Danny made was absurd, weird.
But the point was not that he was going from a winning car to a less winning car. The point that I was trying to make was it hurt his credibility for other people to pick him up, I think. He didn't have a tag on him anymore like he did when he was at Red Bull.
Yeah.
I think they still look at how he performed in a better car, knowing dang well that Renault car was just not good.
I think at this level, too, teams care about who's going to give them the best chance to win, who's the better driver, what's the best driver that's going to give you a chance to win. They can shoo away some of that other little stuff. I mean, look at not comparing him to Kimi Raikkonen. Don't get me wrong here.
Love Kimi.
But media hated him. Like, he never gave anybody the time of day, but he was one hell of a race car driver.
Yeah.
Well, but that's also a risk because you're going against Bierman, who's shown that he can race and get points. So does that also hurt his credibility down the road if Albon goes there? Then it's like, okay, well, Bierman is finishing above you every week.
But he's now, is he giving himself
a good point
in the same car?
Because now you're not looking at Albon getting into one of those nicer seats at that point for sure.
But is Bearman going to do that? And if Albon's in a Williams and still beating him in the Haas, he's in the same boat. Get yourself in a position to get yourself the best car available.
Yeah. I guess, right? It is kind of the same deal.
Yeah, I guess. I guess it's just a moot point.
Well, then,
the cow's opinion.
I don't think it's moot, but I think just, here's to Danny Rick being in a Haas next.
That'd be so dope, though.
I would love to see him on the track again.
I mean, I remember Danny was... Haas was like, hey, we got you a driver's seat for the half year he wasn't in, and he turned down all the money that they wanted to give him.
They couldn't afford
him. Well, yeah, they couldn't afford him. Yeah, he gave him a number, and they were like, we don't even spend that much in our car. So, yeah, they
Gunther said in A Drive to Survive, when Danny was switching, I think, from Renault to McLaren, or whatever what Danny was doing, he's like, we're light years away from being able to afford him.
Oh, yeah. Didn't they say a number like 15 mil or something, too? I thought the number was like 20.
It's crazy.
Oh, was that? It was up there, I know. Yeah.
Yep.
Which makes sense in a Haas car if you're going to get Danny to go down.
With that, we'll move into the Italy preview. Danny Rick going to Haas. And obviously, right off the bat, of course, we got Joe's preview history, whatever you want to call it. Joe, let it rip.
Yeah, looking forward to the Formula One MSC Cruises Gran Premio del Made in Italy e del Emilia Romagna. Let's say that five
Good
times
work.
Fast, everyone. we missed last year, unfortunately, due to some awful floods in Emilia Romagna. So the 2022 GP was the last one that we saw there, and it was the first F1 race at Imola that actually hosted people, like attendance, since 2006 were there at a different track. So they were there 2020 to 2022. That just when like the track came back and stuff. And yeah, for those first 2 years or so, they couldn't have anyone there because of COVID. But in 2022, it looked like it was a wet race the entire race. And unfortunately, it was a bad race for Carlos, who was tagged by Danny on the first few corners. We saw him landing in the gravel and then getting kind of beached there, just ending his race, getting the first DNF. We saw Alonso's side pod get damaged. I didn't see him get tagged by anyone. I just saw a clip of Lewis riding alongside him, and then all of a sudden the side pod coming off. That ended his race. He also got a DNF. Magnussen was in top five, fighting McLaren and Alfa Romeo for a little while. He was fighting McLaren and Alfa Romeo for a little while. And then we saw Leclerc in third place on lap 54, spinning out on the chicane of 14 and 15 after taking too much of the curb. Allowing Norris to take advantage of the mistake and take third. Leclerc did get some damage from hitting the wall. He pit, got ninth place. He made his way back up to, I believe, sixth place, just creating a rough race for Ferrari in general for the Italian Grand Prix. So our final was Verstappen, Perez, Norris, Russell, and then Bottas are the top five. Another superior Red Bull race. We might see something different this year, though. I mean, Norris got third those few years ago. Obviously, it's a wildly different car. I mean, I think this was reg changes 2022? Or 2022 was the first year for the new generation of the car. I can't remember.
I can't remember.
I don't remember either.
Either way, I think it's a wildly different car. 2023 was such a wash in the first part of the year for McLaren. This is going to be a completely different car in general, but it's a strong car. I think maybe McLaren capitalizes, knowing how well they did during that race. They capitalize on it and, you know, put upgrades that'll work for it. So we got Lando and Oscar 100% upgrades for this race. I still think we're going to see Red Bull, not superiority per se, but we're going to see them fighting. But I'm hoping McLaren's up there with them too. And Ferrari, you want to see them do well in their one of their home races, right? But I just, for some reason, Ferrari and home races, and unfortunately Leclerc and home races, they just don't mix very well.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to think that the Ferraris can battle the McLarens for a podium this week, at least Charles, but you make a good point. Charles is in home races, he's not.
Home races, not, now, that's not Monaco, right? So that's whatever.
Monaco,
but,
he just has the worst luck in Monaco. His car really fails him every damn time.
Yeah,
really
every single time, every single time. But new upgrades for Imola. You know, we might see Ferrari really fighting a lot, or we might see them with Mercedes pace with the new Mercedes side pods. Who knows?
So who's on your podium then?
Who's on my podium? It's going to be the same exact podium from 2022. I'm going to say Verstappen, Perez, and Norris. Norris. Verstappen, Perez, and Norris.
Dang. I think for me, I got to go. As much as I think Checo can absolutely be on the podium this weekend, I think I got to go for Verstappen, one of each. Verstappen, Leclerc, and Lando. I wouldn't be surprised though if Oscar had a great run and made a run and finished four or five. Honestly, I kind of expect to see that. And like out of those three teams, I mean, Checo could finish six. I don't think he will, but he absolutely could.
I think this is a horrible track for Mercedes too. I think that there's some high speed fast turns, and there's also some very technical turns. I think Mercedes is 8-9, very low this week. I think it's going to be a tough week for Mercedes.
So who finishes in front of Merck then? Are you thinking?
So I'll give you my podium. Okay. My podium is going to be Verstappen. It's going to be Lando. And then it's going to be Sainz. I think the turn, I'm with you on the 1, 2, 3 different cars. I don't think Checo is going to be superb this race. I think Lando, with the confidence, he's going to get another podium. I don't think it's first. And I think Sainz being, you know, kind of in a rut the last couple of weeks, hasn't been outperforming Leclerc. I think this is kind of his race to get it back, especially if they actually get the... I'm banking... The reason I'm putting a Ferrari up there and not two McLarens is because I'm banking on this upgrade being a big hit for them.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. Who's your podium?
I got Verstappen, obviously. I think he's going to come back and win this race. I got McLaren locking down 2 and 3. I got Lando and Piastri. Snap. I think those upgrades were huge last year for Lando, or last week, sorry, last race, if I could get this technically correct.
I hear you.
I think those upgrades were huge, and with Piastri having, I mean, Piastri would I think he would have fought for a podium if his car wouldn't have, if he would have, you know, wouldn't have got hit last week. So you bring the other half of those upgrades to that car, and I mean,
dang, for
Miami
Stan,
wasn't
Lando
even designed Oscar. For those upgrades. This track is more designed for what that McLaren can really go out and do. So I
was this the track they were talking about that it was like what style of track was the upgrades more designed for? I never
High speed corners and more of that technicality.
Okay,
right? So because like Miami doesn't really have it has like the you know on the back side of the track that one chicane where Verstappen took out the the cone, but other than that Miami's not that technical of a track.
This one definitely is.
Where Imola, you know, you got two big chicanes, you got that last back. It's not like a 180 technically because it's two corners, but it's essentially you have to get that down perfect, and you're coming in with decent speed to be able to take it onto the straight. Where I mean, I think that McLaren's just going to be super fast. I wouldn't be surprised if Lando grabbed another win this week. I wouldn't, but I think it's going to do like Red Bull's going to figure that car out for Max.
I don't think. I wouldn't be surprised if there's not a Red Bull in the top three with this. There's not a huge. There's not like any huge straightaways. There's not any huge top speed in this track.
There's only one DRS zone.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, if there's a track where we're going to find out what Verstappen really has with all these upgrades, if the Ferrari's upgrades are what they say they are, then this is a track where you don't see Verstappen in the top three, maybe.
I mean, finding out what Verstappen has, but literally finding out what everybody else has at this point, too. I think this is actually a really interesting race. I did want to circle back, though. So you said Mercedes, you're thinking 8-9. who do you think is finishing in front of them? Are we like Fernando maybe?
Yeah.
Do we see Yuki finish in front of Merckx?
No. So I think
he split him.
Yeah. But I think what we see is the Ferrari, the Red Bull, and the McLaren top six.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe with Checo falling a little lower, whatever. I think we see Fernando above them with a technical course like this, or track, if you will. I think this is kind of where he's going to really
show
off
his skills.
Where he excels.
Yeah.
So I think you're going to see 8-9 out of Mercedes because Fernando is going to jump into seventh.
Fair enough.
Who's 10?
10 is going to be, this week is going to
Hulkenberg.
Be... Yeah, I want to say it might be Yuki though. I might go more towards Yuki this week because of the track.
I'd say Yuki or Ocon.
And Haas is known for the top end speed.
I need to see more from Alpines this week.
They look good in the sprint and the race last week. That car is a completely different car from week one.
I know. I need to see it another week though. You know what I mean?
I totally
know what I mean?
Get that. I totally
but,
get that.
I would love to see like my boy Gasly get a point. I'd love that, but. I mean, yeah, it could be Ocon.
I think it's got to be Yuki. I think this track doesn't suit Haas. I think it can suit Yuki.
Sure.
I unfortunately think one of the Mercedes is going to have a really bad weekend again, and I unfortunately think it's probably going to be Lewis. I didn't say anything, but he finished 14th in 2022 at this track. So I don't know if maybe... I wouldn't say I don't know if he's bad at this track because it's Lewis Hamilton. I think maybe the car is just not great here. So unfortunately, I think one of the Mercedes is going to be out of the top 10, and I agree with Alonso. I would say probably V-Carb and then a Haas fill in those last two spots in as well.
With one Merck completely out of the top 10.
I think 10. With, one Merck completely out. Yeah. Hmm. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
There you have it. There's our storylines for Imola for sure. Just like that. Any parting thoughts?
I mean,
from anybody else?
I think if any one of ours kind of land with our predictions on this, got to start throwing some bread at it, throwing some cheddar at it, see if we can.
We'll give an update on that. So last week we had, or this last race, we had some turning numbers here. Joel only got 1 point, so he's at 11. I was able to grab 2, so I tied him at 11. And Smelty got 2 right. Or sorry, I got 1. Me and Cole and I got 1 point. I can't talk.
Both of you got 2 points.
Smelty and Cole have 9. Joe and I have 11.
Hey, I'm not like alone in last anymore. I got something to play for. Only 2 back.
I might need to change up my strategy because every single week I'm rooting for you guys to win in the points, in like this points more than I am. Because like I'm going
because
like
you
safe.
You
want to
see the difference?
Like.
Yeah.
I want
to see in Checo.
I want to see
well
the
just...
3 points. I want to see Oscar Lando and then a red and then Verstappen, obviously.
Take
I don't
chance,
want to see
homie.
Verstappen check out.
Take
nah,
a chance.
I'm gonna
you're at 11?
I'm at 11. That's right.
Yeah, you're tied for the lead. Take a chance.
You know?
Take a chance.
All right, Ocon.
Ocon, it's your time to shine.
You might as well just keep rolling over the money line on Verstappen and Checo. You got them up there.
That's
so
what
much.
I'm saying. Yeah. How many times do I have
all but twice?
Oh, damn. What were the 2 times that I didn't? And did I get points those weekends?
You didn't have him for Japan, and he finished 2nd. Okay, so it's only been once.
Okay, well, there you go. I guess it's going to be Verstappen Checo all year.
Oh, yeah, I put Perez instead of Checo. That's why I was throwing me off.
Gotcha, that makes sense.
Well, of course, with that, like, comment, subscribe. Make sure you hit that subscribe button on YouTube for us, especially if you like the video. We're going to attempt to do this, you know, every episode now. Yeah, we'll see you guys next time on Fast Laps.
Don't forget to follow, like, and subscribe. Tune in next time for more Banter with the Boys.